As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to a season
ending. Wow, it's later.
Well, it is for the Grizzlies. Series ending podcast for the Warriors. Season ending podcast.
We're not having to get on a plane to Memphis in a couple days. That was good. And the Warriors are very happy about that, too.
But a season ending podcast for the Grizzlies. Good game in Chase Center. Mostly tense game. Frantic game. 110-96 is the final score. That does not tell the story. Like, this was a close, tense, hard-fought game to the end. And, you know, I mean, it was a series that had a lot of, like, twists and turns and comments and, you know, attempted suspensions,
fouls,
flagrants, injuries. Injections. But it did seem by the end, like, Memphis, especially without Ja Morant, the way they pushed the Warriors did earn their Warriors respect.
No question. It was good for the Warriors. The physical part, we'll see if Otto Porter makes it back. We'll see if Iguodala makes it back and how long he make it back. You know, I don't know that Gary Payton's going to make it, the second's going to make it back, but I think this was good for them. I think they felt that. I got that from Steph and Clay and Draymond after, and Kevon Looney after the game. Like, they needed to be tested like this at some point, and Memphis was going to be the one. I mean, how long have we been saying it? Memphis is a tough matchup for them, with or without Ja Morant. The athleticism, the length, the toughness. And, you know, maybe this wore out the Warriors. We'll see. But I think this was a good for. I wrote about Andrew Wiggins. It just was so good for them to see him play like this. They're down by one. He checks in the game, like, with 7:10 left in the fourth quarter. Three-pointer, steal, dunk. They are in their head, and they never give up the lead. For them to see that, and for Wiggins to do this in this really important game, which I'm calling like a game seven, because they did not want to go get on a plane to go to Memphis, was really important for the Warriors just to feel like they can count. I mean, again, you might have some terrible games in the playoffs. Everyone will laugh about it, but they needed him tonight. Really, really needed him, and he was terrific.
I mean, I'd extend that mini run you're talking about. It was a wing three. It was an open court steal of Dylan Brooks, which was, like, you know, one of those pick six or scoop and scores, essentially. Yeah. So that's a 5-0 individual run. But then he, next possession, Dylan Brooks attacks him again. Dylan Brooks, by the way. I would love to get into his. But, I mean, what a series by him.
He was Allen Iverson today. He's like, I'm going to shoot every single time down the court.
And he was making a lot of it.
He had the guts to take him. But, man, he took a lot of shots.
When Marcus gets here, I would love to discuss the Dylan Brooks night in full. But Wiggins, in individual isolation, stones Dylan Brooks, gets a stop, and that turns into a Steph Curry transition three. So I thought it was basically an 8-0 run, all sparked by Wiggins. Steph talked about going to the bench, yelling at Andrew Wiggins, kind of in celebration. And that was to me, the 8-0 run of the game. But, I mean, wider scope, like, he played a really good game in general. It wasn't just then.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Brown talked about it. Like, he wanted to guard Tyus Jones all 90 feet, and he didn't, but, like, the fact that he wanted to told the Warriors that this guy was ready for it. And you know, two ways, we talk about, you know, being able to play offense and defense, be a threat offensively. Wasn't, you know, incredible on offense. He scored 20, but 11 rebounds in a 70-rebound you know, tour de force by the Warriors. Going big, we can talk about that. I mean, I am the one who wrote that they should go small. They said go big, stay big, and they were fantastic. And a mean Warriors official did text me, teasing me about how, oh, you were right, we did go big. Oops, they went small. I mean, I was wrong. I said they should go small. And Looney was amazing. Andrew Wiggins played terrific. Draymond Green, they played 40 minutes, like, basically, and Looney played almost as much. This was the Warriors battening it down and just saying, this is who we are. We can do it again. I think there were some question marks, certainly, maybe in their minds in Game 5. Like, that was unbelievably bad, and they pulled it out again against a really tough opponent.
Yeah, you mentioned the 70 rebounds. It's what I wrote about. I mean, like, the origin of the biggest decision of Game 6 comes at the end of Game 5. They pull the plug on a blowout when they're down 41 in the third. Steph Curry, Draymond Green go to the bench, and they're already kind of, you know, especially during those timeouts where, remember the Marcus who is now here, like, you know, there was a lot of just conversations and dancing and everything going on. They're already starting to say, we want Looney as a starter. And it is a choice that apparently Draymond Green and Steph Curry made. Like, basically they were going to go down with Looney, go down with the backbone of the team, the guy that started 80 of 82 games this season, who they were, we didn't think they should be against Memphis because of the spacing issues. They had purposely separated them, but, I mean, I didn't love the decision, but it really worked. Marcus, you are here.
Yeah, it worked incredibly well. The key to it, as I was talking to people about it, they wanted Draymond or Jaren Jackson to start. And starting Looney allows Draymond to be on Jaren Jackson. I don't know if I remember her, but I think it was Wiggins on him before. Kuminga, that's who it was. Kuminga on him, and Draymond had to be with Adams. But putting him on Jaren kind of stops that Jaren Jackson opening surge, and it helped him win the first quarter. I think that was kind of like the big deal from the coaching staff. Like, hey, if he's on Jaren Jackson to start, that's the matchup we want. Let Looney bang with Adams. And, man, you know what? It's really fitting because Looney has just been everything for this team. He never complains. He does all the dirty work. He sits out. Like, he gets benched every fourth quarter, right? Like, he's out of the stretch run.
I remember
never argues about it.
I remember when he got benched in Atlanta this year. It was the first time. It was late in the season. He probably started at that point like 70 games. He gets benched, and I asked him about it post game, and he was like laughing. He's like, "It's not even a Warrior season until a center gets benched." He's like, "I'm just waiting for this." And you know, he talked about all the guys in line before him: the Bogut's, the JaVales, the Zaza's, David West, guys who, as playoff series went on and got deeper, typically the centers disappeared. And we had seen that in both these series. Like, Looney had become a backup center, couldn't be on the floor with Draymond. And what was crazy is, and we all agree, like, they went to Looney for like those spurt minutes at the beginning to stabilize the defense. They probably thought going in he was going to play 17-18 minutes. He ends up playing a career high 35 minutes. The final 17, he gets 22 rebounds.
Couldn't take him out. Yeah, and, you know, Jordan Poole did not play to close the game. But
which was clearly the right choice.
Absolutely, understandable. Many of us, were this is a guy that would be the difference between winning and losing, and that was not the case. And it does show that they're deeper than you think. If you count Looney and you count Porter when he's healthy, did not play. Like, they are deeper than you think sometimes. We obsess over the five, and I write about the five, but there's more than that. And Kevon Looney just played, you know, he played a milestone game for him. This is the game that Warriors fans are going to remember about Kevon Looney. Game 6 Looney is what this was. Awesome.
Well, also, just, I think the fact that Draymond and Steph called for this is, like, so notable, because it's like, you know, we get into the weeds with starting lineups and units and analytics, and the fans obviously get up in arms about it. The front office has their opinions. The coaching staff has theirs. But it is important to remember that, like, when, especially this season, as this is a dynasty core that's, you know, trying to have, I don't want to say one last run, because they probably have a few more runs ahead of them, but they're trying to kind of resurge onto the scene. Like, they're the ones that kind of at the end of the day seem to get final call, and they wanted Kevon Looney, and, like, that should speak volumes to everybody involved in this whole Warriors process that, like, that's who they wanted to go down with.
Yeah, and they are driven by winning, right? Like, Steph is like, I don't have the analytics in front of me. right?
Yeah,
they just care about winning. And to TK's point, it was time to win. Like, the bigger thing was outside of the starting, that was obviously huge. But the bigger thing was they were coming up to this tough decision to go with offense or go with defense, Poole offense, Looney defense. What do you do? Having Draymond and Looney together is a problem. In the end, it was like, yo, who are the five guys that are going to win this game? And Looney's just he was a part of that. Like, that to me, that was a big deal. And they huddled right before, I think it was like 5-something left, where you kind of made that choice. Like, all right, these are the guys. And, you know, they huddled at half court in front of the scores table. And it's Steph, it's Draymond, it's Clay, it's Wiggins. And it's Looney. And they're like, no more mistakes, Draymond said, no more mistakes, solid, like, fight for everything. Like, they're giving a speech, and Looney's in the mix. Like,
just dripping in sweat, like, yeah. I've played 12 straight minutes, what is going on? Seeing, like, 9 Grizzlies, yeah, like, what is... But how about the sequence? I mean, you mentioned the last 5 minutes. He has his 19th rebound is a putback with, like, 4:30 left. His 20th rebound is this, like, skying rebound where he's falling down in exhaustion. He throws it over to Clay. He lays on the floor for a second, gets up, you know, does the Looney kind of stumble back into the lane. Steph bricks a three, but he jumps, catches it, throws it out to Clay. Clay hits really what felt like the dagger. That was 20 and 21 for him. And it was just like, I mean, it seemed like he could barely stand up, but he was just getting every rebound.
Yeah, it was kind of elongating himself in the moment is what it felt like. He just was, what was Clay's line? Kavon Elijah, Lunijawan or whatever it was.
By the way, he came to talk to us. Looney did, like, what probably 25 minutes post-game. He was still, like, breathing hard.
In his jersey.
Somebody texted me that, like, is Looney still playing? He's breathing, like, he's talking like he can't breathe.
37 straight minutes. What's going on here? The game's over. It was winning basketball. I had heard there was a debate on the coaching staff. Like, they weren't sure about this. They thought about the small lineup. They thought about, well, they were hoping Porter. I mean, I think if Porter was healthy, they probably would have started Porter. But at the end, they decided Draymond and Steph want this. They're going to do it. And it makes sense. And they were right. What can you say? Probably had other, you know, options within that. But once he was grabbing 11 rebounds in the first quarter, what are you going to do?
What if they said, Dre, do you want Avery Bradley as your first cousin?
No. Oh. Jacob Evans?
Wow.
Hey, guess what? Everybody has wins and losses. This is a win for Draymond and Steph tonight.
Yes, no question.
Because that was the...
I'll say one thing that I felt, you know, Clay basically said, hey, you know, we could use a day off. We're getting old. Like, I felt some of this. Like, they're seeing their mortality. Not that they're seeing, like, it's over, but Memphis, like, they lose this game and they lose game 7. Are they second to Memphis no matter what, like, for the rest of the way? Like, this could have been a changing of the guard in some ways.
It probably would have forced some tougher decisions, personnel-wise this summer.
I think they can see that. It's not saying that they see the definite end. I'm saying they kind of realized that each one of these, you're feeling some of these things, and they felt relieved and happy that they got through this, that they still got it. And they, you know, they have some other options, and they can go try to win with Jordan Poole. They can go try to win with Kuminga getting some minutes. Like, they do have these other options, but they are seeing that there is an end to this. They're feeling it. There has to be. There always is. They just want to kind of push it away for a little bit longer.
You know who's not old in this series?
Come on,
Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins. I was talking about that before. Like, that, it's just like, for them to see Andrew Wiggins do this. Playing 42 minutes, by the way, just was like they can now say this is one of our guys. Like, he's one of us.
2 straight series.
Yep.
I mean,
has he had maybe 1 bad game? I mean, maybe
he floats in and out, and there's time. But like, generally,
offensively though, like, defensively, rebounding, he's been mostly there.
He's banging around. He's hitting the ball. He's like, he and Otto Porter have been, like, you know, the two guys doing that, and they didn't have Porter, so they need Wiggins to do it for the whole game, basically.
Who has had a weak side block outside of Wiggins?
Like, Clay actually came over.
Clay did have one.
Jordan Poole has them sometimes, but beyond that, no, not a lot. And Andrew Wiggins is – there's the storyline about his career is changing, and it's good. It's good to see. So maybe some of it was fair, maybe some of it was unfair, but this is changing who he is in the league. And the All-Star thing, whatever, people made fun of it. That was kind of weird. But it was old. That was a whole, you know.
What a season.
Yeah. But this is a guy, like, whether he's, you know, you want to talk about him being the number one overall pick or what, but he's a valuable, valuable NBA player on a really good team, winning big games. And tonight it was largely because of him.
The underrated part about his night, like, you know, the rebounds, the big shots, right? Obviously the, you know, he picked up the, I don't know if that was a steal or Dylan Brooks dribbled it off his foot.
It's still a steal.
But, like, that, the big play was, like, he drove baseline on Looney's putback. It was set up by Wiggins. He pump faked the corner three, drove baseline, and made a nice little wraparound pass to Draymond. You don't see Wiggins make nice passes like that. He was showing his complete game. And you know, Draymond missed the putback, and that's missed the layup, and that's where Kevon Looney came in. But that was Wiggins not taking a corner three and attacking the rim. Like, that was a winning time decision. He's really showing something that I think a lot of people didn't think he had.
Yeah, you know, it is all the dirty work, which has been the impressive and surprising part of his postseason, but it's also those reminders that, like, oh, yeah, this guy, like, for his career, like, averaged 20 for a long time. And, like, it's still there, and he hits the big threes. And remember, he was, like, the hottest corner three-point shooter in the league this season. He was, like, 42% or something before the break.
If they're playing Kevon and Draymond together, Wiggins has got to score. Like, he has to score. And he did.
Yeah, so, Marcus, you wrote about Game 6, Klay Thompson, who arrived again. And, like, you know, I was talking to somebody pregame about it, and it was like, you know, I'm not sure it's a good thing that Klay Thompson has the Game 6 aura in his mind, because he might be coming out, like, you know, trying to summon it. And as we've seen really through this whole comeback, sometimes the worst Klay Thompson nights are the nights where he's trying to, like, be his old self as much as possible, where he's just hunting shots that he probably shouldn't. But look, he comes out and the jumper looked really good right away. I think it was like 5 of 6, and there was he was hitting jumpers at a time where if it wasn't him shooting, everything was going wonky in the offense. Poole couldn't do anything off the dribble. Steph couldn't hit his shots. The turnovers were insane. This, like, we have many nights over the years to talk about, like, horrible Warriors turnovers. I don't know. You guys can tell me, but this might have been the worst night.
Game five was the worst.
I'm comboing them both in my mind, but holy hell were the turnovers bad. And we can get to that, because I think that's going to matter moving forward. But Klay Thompson, like, what did he finish with? 30? 30 on 11 of 22, 8 of 14 from 3. What'd you write, like, essentially?
Just that, you know, This means the world to Klay. Like, talking to people who are around Klay, like, this is what he's been waiting for. Like, all, you know, it was good to get back on the court. It's good to have big games. But Klay's been waiting to be himself, right? And being himself means coming up like this in a big game. And there's, you know, the Game 6 Klay part is not just about, like, the fact that he has big games. It's that he has them when nobody else is going, right? That's the thing. It's in Oklahoma City, nobody can get anything going. They're down, and somehow he's hitting threes and saving them. So this was, like, really, you know, if you picture his journey as a mountain, this was him getting back to the top, right? This is him feeling like himself again. So I just wrote about that. Like, this has been 2.5. He's been waiting for this for a long time, even more than the last series, right? This was a moment they needed him. And
last series didn't get to Game 6.
It didn't, yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't get to the part where it was like, we are desperate, right? And we need somebody to come through. And Klay wants to come through. Like, he lives for that. So that, for him to do that again, he was so happy. You could just see him bouncing around, like, he's holding up 6 like Jordan did. Jordan did it. It was the 6th title, though, right? Yes. It was like, yeah.
It was, what do you think was kind of like his biggest shot tonight?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I think early were the, like you said, the early ones were really important. You know, he hit those 3 in a row, I think, you know, and that kept him going when Steph was not making anything. Poole was not, you know, not doing much offensively. So they needed him to do it. And I think that kind of kept them afloat. Like, Steph was talking about how Andrew kept them afloat. Well, Klay kept them afloat early, and then kept going with it. But I just thought, like, he hit with those, like, 3 in a row, second quarter, I think. Were just essential to, you know, that could have been another, you know, Grizzlies up 15, right? It could have been. and it wasn't. It was what, Warriors up two at halftime. That really, that could have been, it could have been a lot worse, and it allowed them to kind of muddle through the third quarter and then just take off in the fourth quarter. But they outscored them in the fourth quarter, what, 32-19, something like that? Like, that's, like, set them up for that. You know, if you're coming back from down 10 to Memphis, it's hard.
He missed that bunny. He missed a layup, right? And then it was like three, pull up, right? Then I think he got another, like, fast break layup. But that was a part in the game where, you know, at some point you were thinking, hey, they got to have a big third quarter here. And it wasn't happening. And then Clay, like, steadies the ship. I thought that was huge. That little stretch. I think it was 8 straight points he scored. Yeah. That was a big deal. Now I got to go rewrite about that, because I wrote about the last three.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box, and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
We both haven't finished, if you can't tell. Slater's finished, but the columnists are writing at a more leisurely pace, so we can expand and expound upon that later.
For the record, we didn't get finished with interviews to like 11:15, so we're not cranking out columns in 45 minutes here.
You mentioned the Steph analytics quote as in regards to Looney, who I wrote about, and I'm like, damn, I forgot to put that in my story because I'm rushing. I'm like, man, can I get back and maybe get that in? All right, so we kind of talked about maybe the nuts and bolts of the game, but look, series is over. This matchup is essentially over. I think it's good to just look, like, this was an interesting series. Like, you know, and Steph mentioned it.
How long ago does it feel like when Draymond got ejected? I mean, that feels like 2 months ago.
How long ago does it feel like Gary Payton got hurt?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and Steph mentioned it post-game. He seemed to like, he said he liked the pettiness, liked the antics of it. You know, in the moment, I'm not sure he did, but And we talked, me and Tim talked about it earlier, but, like, you know, I didn't know if, and I was, like, pretty keenly watching the post-game handshakes. Like, would it be testy? Would they even talk to Dylan Brooks? Steph went over, had a long conversation with Dylan Brooks. Draymond's hugging Stephen Adams, hugging Dylan Brooks, hugging Ja Morant. Like, they
Draymond
came to respect
was,
this
Draymond team. Draymond was hugging Ja Morant while the game was still going on. Like, yeah. The final seconds, he walked over to hug Ja. I do think I was curious about how they would respond. And, you know, of course, leave it to Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga to take the shots, right? Like,
what did Poole do? I saw Kuminga.
Jordan Poole left the court doing the gritty. Oh. He was doing the Ja Morant gritty. So, you know, let the youngsters have fun. But you knew, like, when it was over, especially once Draymond started talking to Ja, I was wondering, do they go, hey, youngsters, like, have a seat, we told y'all, or do they, you know, be the elder statesman, right? Be the OGs, and they did that, right? You could tell they were like, yeah, you know, we're gonna take the high road, we're gonna appreciate the youngsters, right? You're like, we're gonna appreciate the fact that we're the target, and you got this team coming for us, and we were able to stave him off a little bit. But I didn't think Dylan Brooks was going to hug anybody. When Steph came over to him, he sure took that
hug. Dylan Brooks was ready to, like...
He was holding back.
Everybody was in the mix.
Dylan Brooks was, like, way in the back. He's like, I don't know if I'm doing this. And Steph came over.
Steph came up and was like, man, you were hot tonight. Keep shooting, young fella.
You should have shot more.
I don't know that Clay and Dylan Brooks were going to hug, though. I'll put it that way. They had a little a few little moments tonight. But, it's... It was a tough series. At some point, you should say, I appreciate that you guys pushed us so far, and the other team should appreciate that they made the Warriors have to burn everything
they
had.
If they win a championship, it'll be because of the series, right? It'll be,
And also, Memphis is a team that ended the Warriors season last year, too. So, like it's all this interesting little swirl of stuff. And the Warriors do respect Memphis, some of it they get mad at them, but they do respect what they do. They've always liked Steven Adams. They've always respected Steven. I know, Draymond kicked him once, but they like each other, though. They do like each other. Yeah. The good teams test each other. You appreciate the spirit of that. But we can talk about what's happening next, and the Warriors get a few days off, but then they get to watch Phoenix versus Dallas.
I don't want
to
get there yet. I want Marcus's full encapsulation of the Dylan Brooks experience. I mean, it was a jaw-dropping game by him tonight, and really a series in general. I mean, if you just went through all the stuff, I mean, horrendous in game one. One of the most controversial fouls you'll see in game two, the suspension, the return. And remember game four was like, that was the most, one of the most cringy like performances you see with some of the shot selection.
Like Memphis was turning on him, right? Ja had to get his back. Yeah.
And then, I guess five was, it was a nothing. It was the one time he was in the storyline. But then tonight, he suddenly is hitting everything. He's like loving the booze. He shot them almost to a win tonight.
Oh, yeah, no, you kept thinking at some point, like, oh, these early shots, it's going to cost him later. Like, he's going to keep shooting and he won't make them. But he kept making them. Like, tonight he looked like a really good player. But I do think the fact they needed him to be the front guy, like, it helped. The difficulty with Dylan Brooks is when you're next to Ja Morant, he'd be trying to do this, right? But he was good. Like, he was good.
Let me ask you, too. Where does he rank in like villain lore of recent Warriors history? I mean, is he one? Like Tony Allen kind of was for a little while. Patrick Beverley kind of has been. Blake Griffin, the Clippers teams. Like, I don't know. I think he's
Harden,
right up there.
Harden. Harden always was up there.
Who got booed as furiously as he did? I mean, I know it's because of the foul.
He got something. He got Gary Payton's second hurt. So,
well, I mean, it's villain lore. You got to do some stuff. Like
when he hurt Clay, he got booed.
Yeah, and Danny Green is not beloved in Warrior Land. I mean, he's up there. I mean, like if he had clubbed stuff like that, it would be, number one of all time ever. But he's up there, and the fact that he's like bouncing off to fans and he's making shots and it's up there. But let's step back a little bit and wait on that one. And it might not be the passion might calm down in a little bit. But they play him again. I mean, he's going to be the guy, right? They're going to look.
They might play him again.
They might play him again.
What a figure in this series! I enjoyed it.
He had one good game out of six.
Well, look at the plus minus. Like, he was pretty good on plus minus every single game, even when he was missing. Like, this,
I mean,
there's something there that he matters to this team.
The Warriors would also argue his game two was pretty impactful.
He still was plus, by the way. I'm a Dylan Brooks guy, although he had some weird games. But he plays D.
Ride that roller coaster. Yeah. If you're going to sign him to the extension in your theoretical, GM-ship,
you got to ride take him or Tyus Jones? I'd take him.
Yeah. Tyus Jones actually didn't impress me much.
If you're going to sign, if you could sign one of them, who you sign? Like, for whatever the price is going to be. Although Brooks is signed, right? I think he's signed. Yeah. But, I just think he's one of those guys who...
I don't know that the problem is Dylan Brooks doesn't see him on the Tyus Jones level.
Yeah, no.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, when he got hot today, it was just it was great.
But he was making some tough shots, too.
He was. But all right.
I do think the big deal in this series, which, I mean, look, credit to the Grizzlies, man. They talk a lot ahead, but they backed it up. I mean... They made 15 more threes. They stayed in this series and literally could have won it. because they made three-pointers at a clip they never made. They never shoot like this.
As we talk about different figures that have at times been hot topics on this podcast, I must say Jaren Jackson had a good series. Remember my pre-series? Can he play more than 18 minutes? Yeah. Like, he was, like,
he says this on a night. He's 5 for 19 with 4 rebounds in 38 minutes.
All right. Would you all three agree that Jaren Jackson impressed you over the course of this series?
I've always liked him. I think he's a tough player, specifically for the Warriors, because they hate that length. You know, they just don't. It's hard for them to deal with. He is a fantastic. I mean, we know he's a fantastic defensive player, and when you're a fantastic defensive player at 6'11", like, that is, that's hard to deal with. He's a good player, and he's still young. I mean, like, there's a reason why the Warriors say James Wiseman, take a look at him, just because, like, he's taken off. Like, his career is taking off. You know, be interesting to see what they do with the contracts and Ja and everything, and, you know, do they have to retool the defense at all? But, man, that this is an interesting young team. Just those two guys. They're really interesting, and they got other guys too. Desmond Bane's a hell of a player, by the way.
Yeah, he kind of got back at the series. But let's get off Memphis as a topic. I want to go back to the Warriors and let's talk the crowd. I thought this was the best crowd ever here. You know, obviously it doesn't have to go up against much, but, you know, it's a game six, it's a Friday night. But I a lot of times judge crowds, like, right before tip. Like, do you already have generated the energy? You don't need a three-pointer to get yourself going. And I thought you could tell right away, like, oh, this is gonna be a good crowd tonight. I don't know, what did you think?
I thought they were good. You know, there was moments where the Warriors were struggling, where they kind of picked up the energy. There was one moment, I think it was Steven Adams at the free throw line, and Draymond is like, come on, y'all, like, get up. But they respond really well to the moments, right? Like, those runs, I remember we used to remember this in Oracle, like, teams would just get rattled, like, 2 threes, and then the arena is shaking, coach is calling a timeout. You got some of those vibes. So if they're making the shots, Chase goes a bit crazy, right? They can get pretty hype. I thought this was their best crowd. Yeah, they grew up a little. Chase grew up tonight.
Sometimes anxiety makes for good crowds. Yeah. Like, it makes you loud. It makes you, you know, on your seat. You're not laying back and just eating your pretzels. And I think that's what it was tonight. Like, they were anxious. Like, they did not. They knew what a loss tonight would have meant. It might have meant an end of the season at some point. So
no more Chase games.
No more Chase games. It felt like the crowd was, like, living through it. Like, sometimes I don't feel that with Chase Center. Like, they're not living through every play. They're just kind of like, oh, when's Steph going to get the ball? It's going to be great, yay. And, like, they were anticipating when, you know, when these guys had the ball and were about to put up a three, they were anticipating, you know, possible great defensive plays. They just felt it. And that is the difference.
They reacted to more than just shots, yeah, right? Looney was getting the rebounds, they were into it.
Yep. Wiggins playing the D, you could feel the reaction to that. So, you know, they're not Oracle, but again, it's like we always say, you can't compare it to Oracle. It's just a different era. But yeah, I did grow up. There was a sense that, like, they were part of this. They were in, you know, they're still not out there for the start of third quarter, but that's, you know, that's always going to be the case with Chase Center.
Through five games, like, FedEx Forum and Memphis had just been the much better home court in this series.
I
thought tonight, like, it matched.
If you talk about rattling the opponent, this rattled the opponent. And by the way, I'll throw this out there since people do respond to these things when I say on a podcast. I think it's $7 million per game first two rounds. It's going to be like $11 million for at least two home games next round, and after that, it's like $16 million in the finals. So gross. Not net. They don't take that, but that's the gross, and it's humongous money.
One tip for the Chase Center crowd: don't take other people's chance. Do your own thing. Like, lock in.
So you didn't like that? I thought it was at least, like, to me, the only thing I was like, hey, you know, they're paying attention. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's a low bar.
I'm just spontaneous in the moment.
I'm just saying, first off, it didn't sound right. Like,
they're like, woo, that's
it. It's like, no, you sound right.
You can't do it like Memphis.
You got to have that Memphis grime on you to do it. First off, you have to have seen Hustle and Flow, right? That's a big part of it. Like, it's a movie about Memphis, right? Like, that's why it matters. It's not just a random thing. But, like, you know, it's time to come up with your own thing, right? They try to do the Warriors from Oracle. It's not
the best thing I thought they had tonight was, it was, I think, like, mid-fourth, and I think it was the Pilo came on, was like, from the, you know, South Bay, oh, from the, and then when he said East Bay, that was interesting. There was a lot of East Bay.
I
was shocked. Yeah, incredible noise, and then I heard North Bay, and it was nothing.
That was me. I'm like, I'm North Bay. Runner Park, anybody? No, no, nobody?
Somewhere real cool else is like, I told you the East Bay would make it the chase.
Brandon Schneider's going to have that on, like, a promo video, but. Yeah, no, so I thought the crowd was good. Tim kind of mentioned it, but now the Warriors sit back, get it, and a complete day off. They're not even practicing Saturday. I think it's very good for them that not only that
forget them, us. Yeah, we get to relax. We get the rest.
When Steve Kerr's back, I don't think he was set to coach if it were game 7 on Monday. So
this series.
Yeah, so like maybe he's back Monday, maybe he's back Tuesday. I think part of that was like you would have to fly out Sunday too.
Imagine Mike Brown in a game 7.
I don't think Steve was going to make it. So again, part of that was like he would have to fly out Saturday and have two negative tests before that. And it might have been running out of time. But I'd imagine he'd be back Monday or Tuesday. And then,
game 1 is Wednesday.
Yeah, so fly out with the team on Tuesday. I would say because I think
so. You are handing this to the Phoenix Suns already because
Fly out. I always assume fly just because we always have to assume the worst case scenario for us, and it would be flying, and that's okay. Flying to Phoenix is a lot better than flying to Memphis. Yeah,
I'll take that.
No,
I like Phoenix too.
Flying to Dallas is better than flying to Memphis.
Yes, no question.
Their flights
direct.
Yes.
A lot of times when you're flying to Memphis, you have to fly to Dallas and then Memphis. Yeah. I mean, obviously, they should be rooting for Dallas. You know, you get home court. I think it's the less threatening opponent. While still, like, that would be a really tough series if it is Dallas. But Phoenix, the more complete team. Phoenix is who I'd expect. We will dive deeper into the matchup once it comes out, maybe on a Sunday night, Monday podcast. But do you guys just have initial just thoughts going into an interesting game 7?
I was talking to a Warriors person who was theorizing that Dallas would be the tougher matchup. Just because they're funkier, and you know Phoenix, they kind of know everything, right? I mean, they're good, but they're kind of basic. You match up. Chris Paul, you know where the ball's going to be, and Luka is a whole other animal. I think Phoenix is just the better team, and it would start on the road would be tougher. But I get what they're saying about Dallas because Dallas has a lot of other pieces. Brunson's tough. Like, they do a lot of things that are like really, really. You know, they're beating up Phoenix in three of these games, and Phoenix is really good. Like, Phoenix has been better than the Warriors, so maybe Dallas will be a tough matchup. I just think starting at home twice, the chance to get a tired Dallas team here would be far superior. You might get a tired Phoenix team, but it'd be there, and I just think Phoenix is better. But I have heard the postulation that Dallas would be tougher from a Warriors person.
I think there's a part of them, even though you want the game 7 at home, there's a part of them that likes that. Just go get one on the road and then come back home. And then you know they believe they can win in Phoenix, right?
Well, especially now that they're going to be sitting on what? You get Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days rest, and Phoenix is playing Sunday, and Phoenix will be coming off, you know.
If they go to Phoenix
and get game one. Yeah.
And
game one would be the one to go to.
Get one. It's what they did against Memphis, right? Yeah.
That won the series because nobody else won on the road.
That won the series.
Game one won the series. No question. And, you know, that – I just feel like there's some people who are like, you know, what's getting one on the road and putting Phoenix behind and then coming home like that.
Like, start is the hunter in a series instead of the hunted. Yeah. I could hear the argument, but I could also just see that. Phoenix Palace Electric in game one, and they're going to
win one here, too. So,
that's the other issue, right? Like, Phoenix come here and steal one. Now you're behind the eight ball, right? Yeah. So
I just think Phoenix is a better team. You know, if Chris Paul is healthy, I think he's healthy. He's not playing great lately, but I just think they're the better team. They're just more versatile, deeper. But, again, you know, Luka is – who guards Luka? Like, you know, you start going through that. I don't know.
Honestly, Clay actually guarded him decent this year because a lot of times Luka wants to go bully ball big and like that's the one like Clay can still kind of guard that, he just can't guard the fast guys.
I don't think Luka is the problem. I think it's the corner threes.
Brunson,
Finney.
It's the problem. The problem that Luka creates too.
Yeah, that's because you got to overreact. But let Luka get 50, drive into the hole.
Yeah,
Kleber. It's Kleber.
Kleber. DFS.
I would say the Warriors, as we head into the next series, we kind of wrap with this, but they have issues they need to figure out, which the turnovers are just like they have to clean those up. Steph Curry's.
Do they? They didn't win the series.
They're not going to beat the next team doing that.
I don't think the next team will create turnovers like them. No. I think it was a Memphis matchup deal, right? Okay. I do think it was kind of specific to Memphis.
Two other things. Steph Curry goes 6 of 17 from 3 tonight, 10 of 27 overall. He's just not shooting it that well. He's not scoring it that efficiently. Like, I just feel like for them to – now that they're to the later rounds, like, he needs to reemerge as, like, 40% from 3, Steph. Getting by guys off the dribble better.
At least a couple games. Like, he hasn't really had, like, a torch game.
Tonight was the most threes he's hit in the playoffs, 6.
Yeah, and that's with a whole lot of attempts. Like, you know, I did say – or didn't I say, like, Andrew Wiggins is going to have to win them a game or two in the playoffs? And I think he did. Steph's going to have to – in the next couple rounds, he's going to have 2 or 3.
Per round, probably, considering who they might be playing.
You know – I think that has something to do with the coaching staff.
Tonight, I thought they had him in great position. He was. How many times do you remember him tonight on isolation against bigs and getting to his shots, trying to get to the rim, and he just wasn't hitting. Especially the first half was like a bad Steph Curry half. Some of the passes too, he's like trying to wrap arounds, throwing them out of bounds, like whatever. I think
a lot of that's Memphis, man. Memphis is tough. Yeah. They have the
you know what else is tough? Like, the Dallas defense is tough. Phoenix's defense is tough. Boston and Milwaukee, whoever comes out of that series. Like, these defenses are not going to get easy.
No question at all.
Like, and that's some of them are mindless. But I thought a lot of them tonight were the Warriors so harried by the half-court defense. They're just trying to throw it ahead so they don't have to deal with the half-court. Absolutely. And they're throwing it ahead to nothing. But like that's just like, we just got to get the ball moving because if we start throwing it side to side, they're going to steal it anyway because they're that good. Phoenix kind of plays like that anyway though. So like Mikal Bridges is that kind of player. We'll see.
But I also think Jaren Jackson terrified them.
Yes,
okay. In a way that Dallas doesn't have anybody who's going to terrify
them. Ayton, not really.
Right. You know, you start getting to the finals, that's a different animal. But I do think you could see them driving to the lane, and they're wondering, where is Jaren Jackson?
He's coming to like block the shot. And they got Tyus
Jones on him. They're going, we got to pass it out. Because, Jaren's around here somewhere.
I do think that was a unique Memphis thing that – especially Dallas can't duplicate that. Like, Dallas doesn't have anybody that they're worried about. And, you know, especially with Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole was the one who could kind of – sneak a couple past JJJ, right?
He had a couple nice finishes tonight. But in general, that was the last thing I wanted to get to as far as, stuff the Warriors need to work out going into the next round. Jordan Poole had 3 bad games. He finished 4 of 15 shooting tonight, 2 of 11 from 3. This is now 2 straight series where he's just been awesome, 1-2-3, and then was kind of figured out by the opponent maybe a little bit. I mean, obviously he had the mid-series jaw situation that seemed to rattle him a little bit, but by 3, 4, 5, or 4.
I think that's on – if Jordan Poole gives you 3 great games, the last 3 are on Steph. I kind of take that.
That's fine, but just margin for error gets slimmer the better the teams
they
play.
Can
like
more from him, but, we talk about how Game 1 won in the series. Jordan Poole was the best player in Game 1. So, remember that. But, if Phoenix figures him out from Game 2 on, they're in some trouble. It's a good test for him. This is all a test. Everything's a test. And can he figure this out? Can he, whatever's going on with him, stop this just dribbling into the middle of the defense, this high dribble, going in here. Oh, by the way, take the ball away from me now. Can't do that in the playoffs. Just that's not what's going to be available to you. This is not
normal. Can't do it. They're in the Western Conference Finals.
It doesn't matter.
No, you can do it.
You can play the final 7-10 in the fourth quarter. That's what's going
to
happen.
You can do whatever you want. You just might get eliminated.
Yeah.
All right. We will talk to you probably Monday previewing Warriors. Who is your guess? Warriors?
My wife wants to go to Phoenix, so I'm going with Suns.
Warrior Suns, Marcus says.
I go with the home team in Game 7, Warrior Suns.
Yeah, that's probably the likely guess. Although, Scott Foster, is that Scott Foster music?
He is Scott Foster.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, we will talk to you Monday.
Zane Fitzgerald.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.